Michelle Somerville and Michael Payne on Foo Bar Radio.
Love that song. I love that song so much.
It was a good vibe setter.
Oh my god. That's gonna set the pace for the show.
Do you know what I'm saying?
No, yeah. It's gonna be a happy show, I think.
The energy's good.
That was Bacow Rhythm and Steel Band with possibly my favourite song of the moment. Such a good song that I can't remember what it's called. Let me remember. Because I had like 2 pints before this show, so everything's escaping my memory.
You gotta pluck it out, bro.
It's called
Lavantil
Road March.
That's okay. Well done.
It reminds me of Make the Road by Walking by Menahan Street Band. I'm beginning to get into a lot of like...
You're into the street band thing right now.
Exactly. Just music. You don't need lyrics the all the time.
A little steel pan for the little
bill
melody
of vibe.
And all that.
Yeah, exactly. Mean. Bill of vibe. There's always a vibe there at Notting Hill Carnival.
For real?
Even without MCs, you know?
It's true.
The steel pans just make... there's something about them. I think that's what Jamie XX realised when he started putting steel pans in everything. But...
You played it because it's celebrating the first day that it hasn't rained so far.
Yeah, exactly. This is pretty much summer now. Welcome to summer.
Guys, we don't want to jinx it. Personally, you know, I mean, there's still potential. It could be sunshine right now. 15 minutes time, it could be pouring.
But we are trying to, I think we should be trying to usher in the warmer months, though, because apparently with this COVID-19 going around, some scientists believe that summer will actually really... almost essentially burn it away, because the kind of microbes apparently of a virus don't stick around past anything that's like in around 4 or 5, I think, degrees Celsius.
Oh,
range.
Really? Yeah. Is that the case?
So the warmer it is, the less likely they are to kind of fester, if you like, or thrive, should I say. But then also because people are outside longer, they're not cooped up in sort of confined environments, breathing on each other, coughing on each other, yeah, sneezing on each other. And so, yeah, if we can hold out till summer, we all live.
It's, well, you know what? It doesn't matter what the weather's like. The sunshine will be brought into your life today by our amazing lineup of guests.
We, yes, exactly. Big segue.
Was mad.
Because we don't want to put too much press on coronavirus, because everyone's talking about coronavirus at the end, and I don't really want to mention
it.
You
can't go nowhere without someone. Like, it doesn't matter where you go.
It doesn't matter where you go. This is your safe space away from it, for the next 1 hour and 55 minutes.
Anyone who mentions it will get a fine.
A fine, okay, cool. How much are we saying?
I'm saying like a pound a time.
All right. Okay. I was going to say 50p because I'm not balling like that, but a pound's cool.
No, that's fine. I think if anyone's listening to it on the Green Room's guests, just listen out. Do not mention the virus.
Don't mention the virus.
Don't say that word.
Don't mention the CV.
You will be fined a pound. To go towards the research into.
Who are our guests today?
Marcel?
Do you know what? I'm going to have to search for it because I'm searching.
Searching.
Oh my God, the vibes. We got Errol Reed from China Black. Legend. Legend in the game. That was one of my favourite songs when I was a kid.
Bro, still is.
It reminds me of
when I was like, however old
that's
I was when I was
that's
listening
to saying. Like, there's certain moments that I get in the studio, when a guest walks in and I'm like, jeez, my life.
Let's take this
flashback,
in.
You know what I mean? Bring you back
we
to
had it last
old school
week.
Mask. Yeah.
We had it last week.
We had it.
Like, Adamski.
Adamski, week, mad.
We had it. We've had it with Rosala. We've had it when CC Peniston was on.
Blackstreet. Donnell
Black
Jones.
Oh, wow.
Craig David, even though that was a, you know, we went to interview him.
You mentioned the words Craig David, Julia appears in a C. If you mention his name, she appears.
The other big C.
Oh, jeez. We've also got Alison Limerick coming into the studio.
Wow.
Where love lives, where love lives. I'm down.
Yo,
ding.
If you don't know any of these songs, listeners, I feel for you.
I really feel like I feel like our renditions aren't really matching up to what the actual initial song was, though.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I'm saying?
I tried my best, but you're right. No, I think you need to hear the OG version.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We've also got Andre in the Andro in the studio, and we've got Lee Juggernaut.
Yes, all in. But we also have, because we've got actually amazing lineup of guests as always over the next few weeks. But next week Zebra Cuts is coming in, and so we are giving away a pair of tickets to his gig. Tell us more, Marcel or Michael.
So basically, his show is on March the 26th, and it's at London Space 289. Mm-hmm. Basically, to win tickets to this show, you need to follow FUBAR Radio on Twitter and retweet the pinned tweet, and just, do you know what I mean? Just show
that's all you
got
to do.
That's
two clicks of a mouse,
very
and you
easy.
Could be seeing Zebra Cuts at London Space 289
on the 26th. He is incredible. He is the song and the artist that we played a few weeks ago on the show. And Will, who is assistant producer on the show, said he was quite intimidated by that song. And I think that's a good thing. Right?
That's actually a good thing. If Will's intimidated by something, then it's had an impact on humanity.
Well, talking about intimidation, Michael Payne, I have it here on this bit of paper that you told a really old lady, not an old lady, a really,
really
old lady, that buses weren't stopping at a stop since there was no sign there, just a shelter and minor roadworks nearby. As she walked to the next stop, a 74 bus came, you had to run back and jump on it to avoid eye contact.
I had to do that.
I think that's just sort of everything. That's the whole story, isn't it?
I tried to be helpful. Yeah. Like, I was walking down Fulham Palace Road and I saw this, like I said, little old lady.
Really old lady.
Yeah. Noticeably old.
Okay.
You know, as in, you should you be getting the bus?
Really, thank you for that.
Right.
Yeah.
Like I said, but I was sure I hadn't seen buses stopping at this stop for weeks, and you know, my theory was corroborated by the fact that there was no sign. You know, there's just a shelter sometimes, right? But doesn't there have to be a sign at the bus stop that says the numbers of the buses that stop at that stop for you to think that's definitely a bus stop, right? There were roadworks nearby, so I put two and two together and thought, this is definitely the stop where buses aren't stopping. So I walked past the stop, but then I thought I'd share this information with this old dear. And, we had a conversation about it, and she's like, no, I'm sure they are stopping. I'm like,
nah,
they're not. Walk to the previous stop or walk to the next stop. But trust me, man, like, I want the best for you, you know? You could be my gran, you know? I want the best for you, apart from the fact that you're white. you could be my nan. And so she walked to the next stop, but as she was too far, she wasn't like quite halfway to the next stop, but she was way too far to be able to make it back. I saw a 74 come, and I'm like,
what, to that bus stop?
I'm thinking, please don't stop. Don't stop at this stop. And the fucker slows down to a halt and people start getting off. I'm not trying to walk past her after I've told that.
So you just got on the bus anyway. And then did she meet you at the next stop?
No, she ain't making it to the next stop.
That's messed up, bro.
Well, I know.
You mean she's dead before she got to the next stop?
That's
what it sounds like.
She was that old.
Wow.
She was that old. I felt that's the worst I've ever felt.
You should feel bad, though.
I should, yeah. I still do. I still do.
I want to get her on the show for a public apology.
Yeah.
If anyone's nan was looking for the 74 bus and didn't make it home.
If anyone came home complaining that a tall black guy basically gave them the wrong information about their journey home, I'm sorry, that was me.
Well, Marcel, it says here that you got a pedicure with your girlfriend.
I did get a pedicure with my girlfriend. We went to a shop, the nail salon mentioned my girl was like, hey, do you want to come in and get your nails done? Does Marcel want to get his nails done? I was like, I'm not going to get my nails done. I'm going to get a manicure. They were like,
that's important, though.
No, do you get your nails done?
No, but I think that, like, I try and keep them in as good condition as I possibly can.
I feel like I do have some nice nails.
To be fair.
I make sure they're trimmed regularly. But I was like, you know what? I feel like my toes need some love. The feet. Like, because obviously you're walking around all day. You know
what I
mean?
You don't pay enough attention to feet. But people generally hate feet.
They do. They do. But I quite like my feet. Like, they're not that bad looking.
They're important as well. They get the job done.
Do you wear a sandal in the summer?
Do you know what? I don't wear a sandal. I wear a slider.
Okay.
You know, I wear a slider, so all of the toes are out. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you're still young. You can still wear slides.
Yeah, still representing.
Mm.
Still
give it about another 10 years. You'll be in them Jesus creepers.
You know, the ones with the little the strap over.
Bare straps. How did they even make these?
You know what I mean? Bare brown and stuff like that. Like, they're maxing my feet. Like,
it's they sound like shoes, but you look down, it's like, what the fuck? Why? Can I see your toes?
Why am I wearing these?
Why were you clicking all the way here?
The little strap around the back of the back of the ankle just to make sure they stay on.
Grown man sandals, bruv.
That's they do take about 2 days to put on.
And you can wear
a sock as well. When
true. Wear socks with it.
Just in case it's not hot enough, you might want to wear a sock with it.
Couple it with the handkerchief with the tied corners.
Yeah,
do you remember those? People don't wear those anymore.
And the string vest, lovely. Yep.
Cargo shorts.
Not a Birkenstock for you then?
Nah. I remember when Birkenstocks were actually like quite hot. Like kids in my school were like, yo, I've got some Birkenstocks.
They still are.
I don't feel like that is the case.
No? Have you not seen some of the new models?
Nah.
Bro, I'm looking at a couple of them still. They're nice.
Are
they're
you
not
serious?
Open toe. The new ones are like, what, they've got
like,
this round.
Like croc.
Almost, yeah. Them ones. I like those ones, you know.
You like Crocs?
No, not Crocs. They're not Crocs. They're like a Birkenstock Croc
Payne
hybrid.
Michael has just confirmed he enjoys
like Crocs. No. Don't misquote me. I don't enjoy Crocs, right? What I do enjoy is Crocodile Dundee, the movie, and Birkenstocks that look a little bit like Crocs.
Birken Crocs.
Yeah.
Birken Crocs.
Perfect.
Wow.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm not feeling them. That's like wearing jellies.
What, jelly sandals?
Do you remember them jelly sandals at school?
I loved that jelly
sandals. Oh, mate. No.
Yeah, when girls were wearing them.
Ah. Apart from when it would get too hot and they'd slightly melt a bit as you're wearing them.
Down to your toes.
You'd be some weird superhero.
Plastic foot.
Jelly foot.
It would just slightly stick to the pavement as you're walking. You know when it got so hot, the tar was really hot, and you think, I think my shoes are melting.
Right. That makes sense, actually. Okay. Yeah, that probably wasn't a very good idea, making PVC shoes.
Take a backup pair just in case your one's melted off your
foot.
Mm. Well, last Friday, I went to go and see JPEG Mafia Peggy.
And you survived?
I did. I stood near the back at all times. Where's the exit? No, because at Earth, the bars are on the sides. And so you kind of have to go into the crowd to go to the bar.
Oh, wow. That's intense.
And I looked on setlist.fm beforehand and I knew he was going to play about 19 songs. And he did straight through. He spent a large portion of his set in the crowd surfing, whilst never missing a vocal or anything. And during it, he did a little bit of a cover of No Scrubs. Call Me Maybe, which he's done quite a lot on his thing, which was amazing as well. And apparently he can't do it with a beat because he has lost the beat that he did it to. So now he does it a cappella.
Why doesn't he just do it to the actual beat of the song?
it's not his style, is it really?
Yeah, that's a good point. I can't imagine Kylie Rae Jepsen's actual instrumental.
That's got to be so annoying to actually lose the instrumental.
Yeah. It didn't matter though, everybody was singing along to it. It was amazing. It's a really nice venue, Earth, as well.
It is. Used to be the FS Snooker Hall.
Oh, okay, right. Well, I had never seen Peggy live before. I'm very glad I did because he was amazing. Like, from he came on stage in one of those high vis, like he'd been doing a shift at the railway jacket. and then was saying I was tired, and I thought it's probably just come off a shift. But then he flew off. He's like bare chest for the whole gig, just like because he's got so much energy jumping around.
Fuck Crossrail!
Yeah. And so I thought, before we get our next guest in, we'll probably have to do a little double because this one's so short. But I thought this was one that really got the crowd going. The crowd wanted him to play this song, and he described this person as the ultimate boner killer. So we are now going to listen to the soothing sounds of JPEG Mafia Peggy playing I Cannot Fucking Wait Until Morrissey Dies.
Do it, I do it, I do it, man. Tom, Vard, Morrissey, yeah, bunch of timid white, who can't fuck with me. Okay. My daddy told me these white bitches can't keep a key. Fifth in his face, got him singing C. Damn. Never, mine, you or me. Okay. Fuck a Johnny Rotten, I want Lil B. Niggas talking, it's a killing spree. Hey. Pull up on a cracker, bumping Lil P. God damn. Holy shit. Got my reparations, bought some jewelry. Hey, I'm a left wing Hades. 26 with a fresh 380.
I'ma show you exactly how we do it down in the country, baby. This Alabama, though.
Watch make you go cock eye. Rex make me walk side. And you know I rock real diamonds. He ain't got a look at him.
And all my dick cause I'm edgy. Sit your pale ass down at the Pepsi. Yeah, I'm way past flexing. Feel the dab in my chest, this is venting.
Thank you. that deal, young blood. How you doing, man? This is, you know who it is, man. It's Big Cuz, Tony Nasty. I just had to reach out to you, man. Well, you know how it go, man. You know what I don't kind of shit out here today. Shit is just, man, confusing for many people and all kinds of shit, you know what I mean? It's really start playing with a motherfucking mess. I know it should be affecting me just as much, man. So I got to reach out to you because I know you're hard, man. But all I'm saying is, you know, through everything, through all the bullshit, man, just know, family's family. You stick all together, you feel me? I got you like you got me, just understand. Anything you need, got your back, brother. You know what I mean? We gon' keep moving, we gon' keep this direction rolling. Anyway, partner, I'm let you go. Hold it down, love is love. And I'ma check this to the studio on Saturday. Feel me? One.
That was a very, very laid-back, trippy one by Prince Josh. That was Blood featuring L.A. Timpa and Eves Jarvis. I like the fact that there's a couple of Eves in the music industry now.
Mm-hmm.
Not Eves Tumor and Eves Jarvis. They're not leaving it to Saint Laurent to kind of and keeping Eves in the fashion world alone. I want to see more Eves. And spelt Y-V-E-S just to keep people on their toes as well. So they're saying, what, Yves?
Yves.
Yves. We've got our first guest of today's episode in, right? And we usually save the legends till
to the end,
To the latter half of the show at least, innit? You know what I mean? Because time we had Grim Sickers in straight after Blackstreet.
Yeah, he couldn't believe it either.
And he couldn't believe that. He was like, what a tough act to follow, you know? But this time we've given all of the three next guests the kind of
impossible task
of being the tough act to follow by getting in none other than Errol from of China Black fame in, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello. Errol Reid.
It's such a pleasure to have you in. You should, mate. You should. It's such a pleasure to have you in. We all grew up on Searching, which is obviously the huge China Black song. And not just, you know, Growing up on something is something that people kind of, I feel like it's a bit of a throwaway term, but it's such a distinct part of all of our pasts, 100%. I guess. You know,
it was one of those tunes that when it came out, everyone was like going, "Oh, cool." By the end of the summer, like, "All right, I don't need that tune." Like, it got ruined.
So, would you say that the reception as the songs like? As the song, would you say that the song was a grower, or would you say it felt like an instant hit? Because I don't know the sort of history
grower.
Of
definitely
yeah, really.
And it was in the days when you could get into that song came into the national charts at 15,
right?
Mm-hmm. And then slowly crept up, and then got into the top five, stayed in the top five for about 5 weeks, and then slowly crept out of the top 10 into the top 20.
Right.
So we were in the top 20 for about what 3, 4, 5 months.
Yeah.
So that was like spring, summer, going into autumn, where it was just around forever.
Yeah, it was a staple part of the day, you know. Yeah, whether you listen to the radio, the single itself, the you know, the compilations, it did seem to be ubiquitous. But
it was so sick. It was such like, do you know what, like,
there we go, that's the rendition.
This is all we wanted. This is all we wanted.
Searching.
Come on. Do you know what? That was
I'll never find.
I can't.
Did you ever find
it? I'm so gassed right now.
Did I ever find it? Yeah, man, I married her.
There we go. A happy ending. That's a happy ending.
So it was you, Mrs. Reid, happy wife, happy life.
So the song was genuinely about someone as well, which makes it even
No, it was it's about searching for whatever you want in life, be it spiritual, physical, material. It's whatever you're looking for. So it was quite open.
Yeah.
I even had people like ringing from prison. I remember doing radio interviews and people were calling us from prison and stuff like that. So this record has really helped me get through my time.
But yeah. That's when you know you've really made an impact. Yeah. People are banging on their doors to your tune.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I'm like, I didn't know it was that deep. Well, boy, if it's touching you that way.
Yeah.
When you write a tune, you don't know how it's going to be accepted.
Yeah. This is true.
And when it goes right across the board and people are accepting it in all areas and in different languages, it did really well in France, South Africa, Australia.
Shushay. Je shushay.
Bonjour. Merci beaucoup.
So how did you meet the other half of China Black?
I met Simon through, do you remember a jazz guitarist called Ronnie Jordan?
No.
He did a song, So What, by Miles Davis.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
But he did a guitar version, which again went top 10. So I was looking for someone to work with because I'm originally from the whole sound system era in Birmingham. So I did the whole sound system thing, played against like Maxi Priest, yeah. Smiley Culture, Tipper Irie. We all were up there challenging each other with dub plates and ain't no sound better than this, your sound, yes. You know, and doing all that kind of stuff. And then I came to London looking for someone to work with. And my sister's best friend is a girl called Faye Simpson from a band called New Colours.
Right.
Yeah, if you remember New Colours. Yep. And that whole church culture. So uh-huh. Faye was like, look, my brother knows this guy that's looking for a female vocalist. But your voice is quite high, ain't it? So I ended up working with him. At the time, Ronnie was working with this new kid on the block that was doing his album called Omar.
Ooh,
so it's like, this kid does everything himself, man. Trust me. I'm like, yeah. No. He said, but there's this Chinese guy that's looking for a girl, but I think you could do it. So I went in, did the audition. He's like, yeah, your voice is high, innit? So next thing I know, sang Searching, but I said, you know what, we need to do this in reggae.
I was going to say, did the kind of sound system culture really inform the sound of Searching? Because it's a distinct reggae sound.
Yeah. Well, the original version sounded like something that Jazzy B would do from Soul to Soul. If you remember the Akai sampler, Akai 1000, or I think it's at the 900, and then he had the 1000. I think even Michael Jackson used it with Tell Me That It's Human Nature.
Right. You know,
all those sample beats, and like Jazzy B used to use the Akai as well for the samples. So when we did Searching, it sounded very similar to something that Soul to Soul would do. And I went, look, I know that a reggae man will hear that, do a version of it, it will go out there, it will get rinsed on Jetstar and all the rest of it, and we will not see a penny.
Yeah. So Station FM!
You know what I'm
Stuff
saying?
Stuff like that, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So I thought, let's do our own version, so that at least we're covering all our bases.
That's such a good idea.
So I spoke to a guy called Woolygun up in Birmingham. He said, yeah, my cousin's doing something now with a guy called Ronnie Jordan. I went, stop it. Well, Ronnie's the one that hooked me up because Wooly was working with Ronnie.
Right.
With Omar, because Wooly does beats. He came, took the reels in the days of reel to reels, took the reels, did the reggae mix.
It's called reggae now. Reggae. You just recoined the term.
But no, you know what? I've been to a nightclub with you. You got the, we don't want that pop version. You got the reggae version, mate. Yeah, okay. You don't want that pop crap. You got the reggae version. Reggae version. But long as he did the mix, went out through Jetstar. It was number one for about, I remember Roddy can tell me it was like number one for about 3-4 months.
Yeah.
It was in the top.
It's not surprising.
It was in the top 10 for about a year in the reggae charts. And like, I'm like going, I was so busy running around promoing and all the rest of it that you don't get the history of what you're doing at the time because you're in the eye of the storm.
Yeah.
So, and then when it was number one for so long and in the top 10 for so long, that's when all the majors, Warners, Polygram, which is Polydor, Polygram,
right.
Them lot came out, which is now Universal.
Mm-hmm.
They all started coming at us. RCA all started coming at us, and we ended up going with Polydor.
Yeah.
Wildcard.
Absolutely. And like, fast forward now, it's that there is no more China Black, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, funny you should say that.
Okay. Have I just stumbled across something?
You just stumbled across something, FUBAR listeners. I'm bringing China, the brand, back this year.
But as me.
So I'm currently working on a new reggae project.
Mm-hmm.
Doing stuff with a guy called Livingston Brown that does stuff with Maxi Priest and all the rest of it. I'm working with
another like proper institution in sort of 90s
reggae.
I
just wanna get close to you,
tune,
and do all the things you want me to.
Hey, mate,
Aswad.
Don't turn around. Or those songs, they all fit in that. Like I said, that part of my.
I remember that part I bought a compilation.
That was an
up.
Era, though, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and literally. You know what?
Absolutely.
I think it's coming back because if Pharrell's working with Buju Banton, which is rumored on the streets.
No, but then that won't be the first time. Because sorry, I'm talking about Beanie Man. Yeah. I'm an idiot. Don't worry about that. Yeah, that was Beanie Man and Maya, wasn't it?
Yeah, and what was the last thing I heard was that Rihanna. Was trying to get Shaggy to do something on one of her tracks. So she's coming with a reggae album.
Okay.
Well, she was asking Shaggy to audition, and Shaggy's like, "You need to go and Google me, man. Shaggy don't audition."
Oh, amazing. Wow. I love that he probably said it. He called himself Shaggy as well. Third person all the way. Third person all the way.
The Shaggy never.
The Shaggy.
Mad.
Scooby.
But it really is an incredible, it really has been an incredible journey as China Black. But you've got solo stuff.
Because I get people coming to me like, you still do music? Because I used to be a town planner. I worked for Great and Barnet Council as a planning officer. And when China Black took off, to go and do Top of the Pops, I'd book annual leave because I didn't want no one to know my business.
Amazing.
So I'd book the Wednesday off, go to up in, where is it? Hendon or wherever it is they do it, go and do Top of the Pops.
Back
to work on Thursday. Then it'd be shown Thursday night.
That's brilliant. Were they? How long were they sort of none the wiser for? When did people start to cotton on?
It wasn't too long.
It can't have been.
Once they cottoned on, then it was like okay, because people started waiting outside for me to come into the building to get autographs or asking for me to come to the reception.
The days of autographs as well. Jesus, yeah. Couldn't get a selfie.
I thought, until I see the green, I'm still working.
True. This is true. And how sort? But in those days, how long did it take for you to see any kind of financial reward for a hit?
Well, it depends. I suppose it depends on the deal that you do. We did a deal which was such where the rewards were straight away.
Yeah.
Because we didn't take a massive advance or anything like that.
Right.
It was all about just putting money to promoting the record and the rest of it.
Yeah, because of course you'd already made a hit, hadn't you, technically, independently.
Exactly. And then the majors came, and then once the majors came, it was like, right, I need to leave work.
Yeah.
And luckily enough, Brent gave me a 6-month sabbatical to work out whether I wanted to be a pop star or come back and be a town planner.
That's cool.
It was good PR for them.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was great PR.
They're not even showing any buildings anymore. They're not even showing anything, they're just showing your face.
Well, the PR for them at the time wasn't great, so it was great PR for them.
Because
They had a lot of negative stuff, like the Jasmine Beckford case and McGoldrick, and then it was like, okay, we've got something positive over here, let's use it. I'm like,
yeah.
And plus, I was in the age when they paid for you to get your degree.
So I was right.
Because when I came from Birmingham to London, they were like going, yeah, you want to be a town planner, but we're going to send you to South Bank Uni. All you need to do is turn up and study. We'll pay for your food, your books, your travel. I'm like, you're going to pay for that? I'm in.
Standard.
So I went and did it. I don't think it's around anymore. So I got my degree in town planning, courtesy of Brent. But then when the pop career took off, it was like, shit, I got to pay this money back. Well, you speak positive about us. And you won't have to pay anything. I'm like, all right, man, yeah, that's a good deal. I can do that.
Fair. But you stay busy in music, though, as well, haven't you? You haven't really needed to fall back on your degree, so to speak, have you?
No, I was fortunate. Towards the end of the 90s, I ended up working with a guy called Alistair Whitehead, another kid called Michaela Chiaverini, that did a lot of stuff with Seal.
Okay.
And on that journey, I met a young kid about 20 years ago now called Axwell. So I hooked up with Axwell. We wrote a song called Feel the Vibe. That song blew up in the dance world. And it was a world I understood because it reminded me of the reggae world.
Yeah.
It was all about, at the time, it was all about white labels and people like, you know, just going around your 12 inches and stuff like, because it was still records. And I completely got it because I'm like, yeah, man, this is my world. I'm from that. And then as soon as house music started to take off and become popular, and then I remember doing Feel the Vibe, that taking off, and then we wanted to recreate the magic, so I ended up back in Stockholm doing another song called Nothing But Love with Axwell. And then we all went out for dinner, me, him and his two other mates, and they said, what do you think of the name Swedish House Mafia?
Amazing.
And I'm like going, why? Because he's Swedish, we love house music, and we're like Italians, so Swedish House Mafia. I went, no, I get it. I was in a band where the guy was Chinese, I'm black, China Black, so there's a meaning in the name.
Yeah.
Little did I know it was going to blow up to the level of who's going to save the world.
Yeah, for real.
Don't you worry.
And all of them having their own massive solo careers as well. Exactly. Like you said, Axwell is a massive name in dance by himself.
Oh, big time.
Let alone as a part of a Swedish house mafia. Did they split up, but did they get back together?
I think they got back together last year.
Yeah.
They're doing massive shows.
I think they were doing shows.
Yeah, the first kind of the first reunion check came in, they were like, guys,
what are we doing? Yeah.
They were too big to split up just now, I think, you know. Sort of down the line, you've also, like I said, having your fingers in many pies, you've signed an artist to a publishing company through your production company, right?
Well, that was a while ago. Linda, are you on about Linda? We did sign her to Universal Republic in New York, but that's since dissolved.
Oh, wow.
That's the game, man. It's as they do, you know the runners. They chuck them at the wall, and what sticks they run with.
Yeah,
that's definitely symptomatic of the music industry.
Oh,
I guess. I guess it's a necessary evil, isn't it? You know, you've got
it
to
is.
Run with
not,
it.
Not everyone's gonna. It's like anything. As long as you realize you're a product, and you don't take it personally, because a lot of people, this is a game where you wear your heart on your sleeve, and sometimes people say stuff about your music where you poured your heart and soul into, and it cuts. But you have to understand that everyone's got different tastes.
Very light, true.
And you're like a box of cornflakes, a can of beans, and if you go past your sell-by date, as far as the executives are concerned, then what do? You take it off the shelf and you put the fresh product
out. Yeah, you're literally a commodity.
Yeah, so you have to rebrand yourself. You just suck it up and rebrand yourself and get back out there.
Yeah. Well, without further ado, I really want to hear Searching. I just... I really want to get nostalgic.
You know what? Don't gas me.
I want to get nostalgic. But I also want you to do us the honour of introducing it for us.
Will you come a little tune for each and everyone out there in FUBAR Radio Land? It's a tune called Searching by the band called China Black.
Yeah.
Yo, that sent me back, man. We were literally just talking about our memories of this song. And some being a bit more pleasant than others, I guess, because I was talking about like getting ready for school in the morning, primary school at that. Yeah. You know, my dad's driving my mum to work and listening to this when you used to warm milk in a saucepan for your breakfast before microwaves.
I still do it.
You get me? Oh, mate.
I still do it. The missus got rid of the microwave. She went, nah, we can't be eating all this microwave. Stab, stab.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, for real. Get rid I hear of that. But this song reminds me of milk and saucepans.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Porridge.
Yeah, with your Weetabix, exactly, yeah, in the morning.
But
obviously, with the song having the trajectory it had, from the underground to the overground, you had been singing this song for 6 years before the world had even heard
exactly.
it, hadn't you?
Yeah. I've been singing it for years. So by the time it came out in the pop charts, I'm already kind of like, I'm over it.
This again?
Next tune. But then you get through that phase and then you start to appreciate.
Absolutely. I think it rubs off on you. When you realise how much people love something, I think you start to love it even more.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Because Saturday just gone, I was singing it.
It's an earworm, man.
Where are we now? What, 26 years later?
Yeah. Oh wait, this is what I was going to ask you as well, because we had Adamski, obviously the creator of Killer with Seal, on last week. Exactly. One of the biggest songs ever, right? They're doing a reissue, an anniversary reissue of the song, but in different styles. So they've got like Boy George to cover it once, and they're putting out. He's putting out an EP.
Is Trevor Horn involved? Or?
No, I don't think so. On this occasion, no, Adrian Sherwood is, and Mickey Blanco and Nina Hagen, and like tons of people are involved with it. Yeah.
So can we see maybe in an anniversary year a reissue of Searching?
I'm definitely considering it.
Please do.
I'm
do
definitely it. Considering. It's like, if China Black was coming out today, what would it sound like? What would China Black sound like?
Right.
And, you know what I mean? The vibe, and where is reggae music now? Because I kind of fell out of love with reggae when it started to get quite derogatory about females and stuff like that. I thought, I've got a mom and three sisters.
Yeah.
I can't be singing all that nastiness.
Yeah.
So that's not for me. So that's when I sort of slid a little bit away from reggae. Because I was trying to push my wares, and it was all that soulful, heartfelt reggae stuff, and people just didn't want to hear it. Hence why I slowly slipped into vocal house and working with all these different artists.
There'll always be love in certain genres, won't there? There'll always be pure love. And I guess you're right, if your brand of reggae was the kind of mode at one point, and then you kind of have to look towards like, you know, lovers rock or something, and know that maybe the sort of young people aren't listening to it as much as the older people. Because lovers rock, man, you'll hear that in any West Indian takeaway shop on a Sunday afternoon.
You know them tuners.
You can't deny the power of those songs, but you're right. Sometimes more brash, sort of, as you said, derogatory music will find its way.
Give me the tea. Give me the sugar. Stop it.
I'm like, you know what? That ain't me, bro.
Yeah, for real.
You know what I mean?
No, it's true.
It's
not me. But you know, the thing is now, like the way that the industry is now with the streaming and being able to release your own stuff however you want to release it, like, you've got like the opportunities there, because like Spotify now, they've got a reggae playlist which will be for that specific thing.
Trust me,
That's what I do love about Spotify. Yeah, they've found a way to kind of, not necessarily archive stuff, because it's all an archive, I guess, but file stuff so that you can go and look for it if you want to know the beautiful British reggae songs that were coming out in the 90s, you know? It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. We got a game to celebrate your appearance on the show, and Natalie's going to tell you about it.
Well, Errol.
Is it Snog, Marry and Avoid?
How did you know? You've heard the show before. China Black have got a song called Stars, which I love very much. And we'll be playing it next. That is the one. So I'm going to play you two clips of artists, and I want to know who has had the most YouTube views. The person you think has had the highest has the biggest stars.
Right.
And normally I have some method to it. Today I just thought, I just put my iPod on shuffle and came up, just picked songs that came up on my iPod. So that's the basis of this one, okay? So we'll give you a flavour of what I'm listening to.
So how many in a bonus?
Of course there's five in a bonus.
So what's the premise again?
Which one of these two have had the higher YouTube views for this particular song and video? Okay?
A.
Let me start it first. Imagine if you're right all the way through, be like, wow, everyone, how did you know this? This is very good.
It's a lottery day today.
Let's start.
If I'm right, I'm doing a lottery as soon as I leave it.
If you win this game, go and do it. But let's start with number one.
Woo! Y'all gonna make me lose my mind. Up in here, up in here. Y'all gonna make me go all out. Up in here, up in here.
X, are you going to go for Nelly? Write down DMX or Nelly. Write it down. Do not let Marcel see your bit of paper.
Is he a cheat?
Not for me to say, but several guests have said it, so yes.
What do you mean? They cheat off me.
I put Belly.
Don't say it. Write it down. Don't say it out loud.
That's a great film.
We're
going to get... Were you talking about the film Belly with DMX?
Belly?
Yeah, have you never seen Belly?
No, I haven't, no.
Belly's sick.
Write it down now. Can you get something?
Yeah. Method Man.
Okay. No, but I would like to watch that.
Great film.
It's really good.
Hype Williams.
Yeah,
on, he directed that one.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that he'd done films.
Yeah, I think that's his only film.
That's the only one he done.
Oh, okay, right. So I remember him obviously from the Missy videos. Right, so we've got something down. You've got DMX, so you've got Nelly, right? So let's move on to number two.
Say they say for the plot, not even for the cops. Say they say for the plot, not even for the cops.
Ooh. Ooh, is it Skepta or is it Prince? Sign of the Times or Ain't Safe? Which of those music videos has had a higher YouTube views? Obviously, Prince has been around.
Big tune.
Exactly.
Bow, 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 bow.
But is it Skepta or is it Prince? Write it down. You all got something?
Yeah.
Okay, we're moving on to number three.
We ain't going out like that.
Ooh.
We ain't going out like that.
We ain't going out.
We ain't going out like that. We ain't going out like that.
Run away.
Big tune. Cypress Hill or Bronski Beat? Who do you think I'd hire you? I ain't going out like that or Small Town Boy? It's tough. This is a tough game. I'm going to do more of my iPod shuffles on the show, I think. Just random songs together.
Ooh.
I feel like I'm losing this one today.
I'm just writing what I like.
Yeah, me too.
Do you have something for that?
Yeah.
Okay, it's number four.
I think of you.
This is Sixto Rodriguez.
And think of you.
That's a nice tune.
Very nice tune, yeah, very nice. Very nice tune as well.
Wow.
Very lot of things on my iPod. Different genres.
Amadeus.
Falco.
Falco.
Falco or Rodriguez? I think of you. Now, remember Rodriguez, the documentary came out. A lot of people were watching his videos, but equally, I watch Falco about a million times a day, that video myself, so I'd have bumped up the views. Which one is it?
We have a disc.
Deliberately.
So you win.
It's on loop at my house if I leave. We all have something.
Is he wearing chaps and stuff in that video?
Falco? I can't remember what he wears. I feel like he wears a leather glove, but maybe I just want that to be the case.
Sounds like someone who'd wear chaps.
Yeah, exactly.
Someone who'd wear one leather glove.
Just the one.
Definitely
yeah.
Wear chaps.
My name is Falco.
Do you all have something for that?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go for number five.
I'm a hustler. I'm a hustler. Trying to do it the hard way.
It's tough enough.
Kano, Hustler, Shuggie Otis, Inspiration, Information. Who's got the higher views?
I'm a hustler.
I think I'm ready for some answers, okay?
We're
the only five. Let's start with number one, Errol. DMX or Nelly? What did you go for?
I went for Nelly.
Nelly. And Marcel, who did you go for?
DMX.
DMX.
I went for Nelly.
My point for Marcel, right? What's DMX?
Oh, how did you get that right?
What do you mean? It's DMX.
But it's also Manny Furtado with Manny. That was a huge song.
She got 83 million views of that video.
No, this is another song.
What?
You're talking about...
What video was it?
First we go on a rock, then we go on a roll.
What song was it?
But this was... y'all gonna make me lose my...
Party Up. Party Up is like literally the song that gets played in every single club.
Okay, well, that had 99 million views of that video.
That's what I'm saying.
Anyway, did you have Skepta or did you have Prince?
Skepta.
Skepta you went for.
Prince.
Who did Skeppy. You should have gone for Skeppy. That is correct.
I'm not doing a lottery today.
7.9 million views that video. Prince has 2.9 million, which seems low for Sign of the Times, really, doesn't it?
I guess, but it's not one of Prince's bigger songs.
Yeah, it's not one of his bigger tunes. Okay. It's not like Purple Rain or something like
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
True, but...
Rodriguez or Falco? Oh, no, let's go for that. Cypress Hill or Bronski Beat? Who did you go for?
I went for Cypress Hill.
Cypress Hill, yeah.
I went for Bronski Beat.
Who did you go for, Michael Payne?
Cypress Hill.
You should have gone for Bronski Beat.
Oh, what is
three in a row for Marcel Hit. 15 million views of that. Cypress Hill, 9.2 million views.
Wait, Marcel's got three in a row?
Yeah, yeah. He's got all three, isn't he?
He's running away with it.
Did you go for Rodriguez or Falco?
I went for Falco.
Okay.
Falco.
You were all right to go for Falco.
Yes,
that is absolutely correct.
What would have gone to Sugarman straight away?
47 million. Wrong. That's got 5.2 wrong. Million for Rodriguez.
What? Sugarman.
Yeah, Falco.
Oh, right.
47 million. 47. Kano or Shuggy? Who did you go for?
I went for Kano.
I went for Kano.
Kano.
Should have gone for Shuggy. Kano 282K. Shuggy 319K.
282K, that it?
Yeah. It's from an earlier album, it wasn't.
It was from 140 Grand Street.
One out of five.
Errol, you have one. Michael Payne, you have two. Marcel, you got straight up five. But don't worry, because winner takes all.
No, he's got four.
Did he get four?
I got four. I got Kano wrong.
Yeah, but you all did.
Of course
that.
You did. Four. Sorry, four. Yeah.
He's Brupin.
I still won,
though.
I think he should lose a point for Brupin.
No, I can't count because it even has got four on my bit of paper.
Them's the rules, bro. You lose a point for Brupin.
Marcel, you've got three.
I have to say, the paper was positioned in such a way that you could see it.
Look at my screen. Nah.
But the thing is, that would be partly Natalie's fault, because I've said to Natalie so much.
Come and look at my view.
Yeah, but you got X-ray vision, bro.
Yeah, there
okay.
you go.
Well, anyway, we've got to get the bonus.
Or Doc. Winner sorry, takes Doc all. Kent.
I do hear Natalie and Marcel whispering before the show.
Yeah, we do, yeah. So, winner takes all for this one. So, Marcel technically wins, but, you know, could be a loser. We don't know in this one.
So, this
is the final one, the bonus, okay? Write it down, don't show it to anybody, and then show me what you have on your bit of paper. So, finally, we have...
Atomic. What time is love?
What time is love?
Oh,
a tune. Big tune.
Wow.
So is it Blondie, Atomic, or KLF, What Time Is Love? What do you think's had the higher views on the video?
I want everyone to be
a winner, really. Show me what you got. Okay, Errol, show me what you got. Everyone's a winner today! Million views
big,
for that.
Big.
How much did KLF get?
1.5 million.
Yeah. Yeah, because their biggest tune would have been 3 a.m., isn't it?
3 a.m. Justified and Ancient.
As I'm the guest, can I be the honorary winner?
No, we all win.
Yeah, go on then.
Yeah, fine. Okay. Yeah.
I'm taking it.
Why the fuck not?
Exactly.
Mate, thank you so much for coming in to join
pleasure.
Us. It's been
fun.
A real nice trip down memory lane. But at the same time, like, let people know exactly where they can find you to find out what's going to be going on in the future, because there's tons of stuff coming up, isn't there?
Oh, I'm doing festivals as China Black.
Amazing.
I'm doing stuff. Well, right now I'm supposed to be in Thailand and Doha, but because of the whole...
Don't say that word.
We nearly got
I
a pan.
I was listening in the green room.
We nearly got
split
a pan.
That 33p each, you know.
I was told if I fly out there... 2 weeks quarantine. I'm like, what?
Nah.
And then when I come back, I went, I'm not spending a month just watching TV.
Yeah, for real. Do that at
so,
home.
So, yeah. You can find me on the usual socials, Errol Reed on Facebook, Errol Reed on Instagram, Errol Reed on Twitter, China Black on Facebook, mm-hmm. China Black on Instagram, and all the rest of it. I'm doing Happy Days Festival, where I'm going on just before the Jacksons. I'm doing loads of stuff coming up. I'm doing stuff with... It's not the sugar babes. Finally found what I'm looking
Honeys,
for.
Honeys.
Yeah.
Whoa.
The whole 90s thing going on in Leicester.
God.
coming up, doing that as China Black, massive 90s thing. So there's a few things coming up.
Sick. Very much looking forward to all of that stuff.
As long as we
man.
Can get public gatherings happening.
This is true. Yeah, this is true. Can't let one beer stop that, can we?
One no. beer.
Can't let a Mexican beer stop that.
No.
Thank you so much. That Mexican beer. But thank you so much once again for coming through to join us. Errol Reed, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you for having me.
We're going to get into a song now. When we come back, we've still got three more guests to come. But I want to tell you about another coincidence. Stars by China Black. Errol Reed just joined us in the studio. Cheers. And I was saying to him actually that we usually save the legends until sort of the latter half of the show, or even until last. And then I said to him that we'd given all the other guests the kind of pressure of being the the acts after the tough act to follow, but we've only gone and followed him up with another fucking legend.
There we go.
We've only gone and done that for
another
the first time
legend.
Ever. Another legend, exactly. Another foot. Gone and followed up with an ankle.
You got our knee or elbow or something.
Ladies and gentlemen, Alison Limerick.
Thank you, boss.
How are you doing?
I'm doing super well. Thank you.
Yeah, you.
And you?
Yeah, very well. Thank you. Thank you for asking, actually. How's everyone doing? Alison,
yeah,
awesome.
Good. Yeah, good. Thanks, Alison. Yeah,
everyone's
good.
Doing fine, Alison.
Good.
And you're currently turning your attention from being a dance music superstar to the stage.
Yeah, well, kind of. I mean, I still do that. I would love to think that I was a dance music superstar.
No,
still
you
are. You are.
But tomorrow, I'm going to be on a very much smaller stage with my partner in crime, Melinda Hughes, and mm-hmm. we're doing something very low key, very acoustic, piano, bass, drums, great trumpeter, mm-hmm. and just singing songs that we love.
And how do you prefer, what do you prefer having been, you know, in, having been, I'd assume, doing PAs for decades
forever.
Now, like, you know.
Still, yeah.
What sort of setting do you prefer? The kind of acoustic, laid back, low key, or the big clubs, big stages, festivals?
You cannot choose that. I want them both. I want it all.
And I want it right now.
I love the big clubs. I love doing the weekenders. I love doing the festivals. Mm. But there's something very special about standing in a club where the people are an arm's reach away from you.
Mm.
And there's just you, and you're very exposed, and you are singing almost just to one person at a time.
Yeah.
And that is lovely, and the pressure's on because you have to see everybody.
Yeah.
They expect you to see them. In a big club where there's thousands of people, you can't see him anyway because the lights are in your face.
Mm-hmm.
But in a club like Zadel, which is tiny,
mm-hmm.
by comparison, you can see everybody and they want you to see them. And
yeah.
you have to work very hard to pull them into your show.
Mm.
And I love doing that. I mean, I started in theatre.
Yeah,
trained
of
to
course.
Dance.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of, I've gone full circle. I'm spiralling out of control. So it's lovely. It's lovely to do it. And it's lovely to sing standards. And Melinda's got me singing classical music. I'm doing things that I wouldn't normally get to do. So
right.
this is just a joy.
And was it by chance then that you entered into the world of dance music, would you say?
Yeah, it was. Lattie Cronland, who wrote Where Love Lives,
mm-hmm.
saw me. I was doing something almost as eclectic as what I'm doing tomorrow.
Right.
But it was at the ICA. It was actually a fashion show, and I was dressed by people like Judy Blame.
Right.
Very weird and wonderful jewellery and outfits. And Lattie saw me sitting on a swing singing God Bless the Child.
Right.
And he decided he wanted to work with me and pursued me, persuaded me to work with him. And eventually, some 2 years later, after we'd worked on two or three or four other songs, he wrote Where Love Lives. And that is what launched me into the dance world.
Yeah.
So it was a surprise.
Yeah.
That it had legs.
Yeah, of course. It's been a huge hit,
mm.
And a timeless one at that.
Yeah.
We were singing along to it just last week with Adamski.
Mm. Oh, no, really? Yeah. Oh, very cool.
Like I said, we're getting the legends in, you know? Just a little name drop. That's just a little, you know.
Adamski was in there last week.
We're just flexing now. We're just flexing now.
Yeah.
And so do you feel like you've had a bit of a return home then, I guess, being back on a kind of a smaller theatre-esque stage?
I've always had a toe in that world.
Mm.
People haven't always noticed, but I will happily go around the world doing my tune,
mm.
And sit on big stages very happily with other great performers, and then I'll be in the studio working on. I mean, I'm actually working with three bands right now.
Mm-hmm.
So not only am I doing the Diva to Diva thing, I'm in a band called the Brooklyn Funk Essentials,
mm-hmm.
which is playing 70s funk.
Nice.
I've also got my own jazz band. So I've always done that. I've always tried to balance the big singing to a backing track thing with intimate live.
Yeah.
I love the live. I mean, I love singing with the backing track. I love singing those songs. And I'm going to be singing Where Love Lives with an orchestra in the summer. Yay! Wow. So any way I can get on a stage, and I'm just a theatre tart, really.
Yeah.
You put me on a stage, I'm happy.
And what's the what's your favourite sort of theatre production of all time, would you say?
Oh, no, you can't ask me that.
Mine's Bodger and Badger.
Bodger.
Saw that at Hackney Empire when I was a kid. Great.
What?
Did you?
Yeah.
I used to live around the corner from the Hackney Empire, so I've seen a lot of stuff there. Live, do you mean live theatre?
Yeah, just anything, would be it a musical, a play.
Oh, no.
But even a burlesque performance, no. Literally anything.
There's too much. Mm. I go out to the theatre a lot. I've seen everything from burlesque to opera to... I saw an amazing performance of Cesare at Glyndebourne once.
Right.
Which blew me away. I don't see a lot of classical operas. I've seen a few, but that... It had countertenors in, which is guys singing up here.
Whoa.
And I think there were three in the company, and they just stunned me that what guys could do with their voices.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was pretty good.
It's nice that you mentioned operas, actually, because I watch, I've been session a lot of Mastermind at the moment. Mm-hmm. And I find that, and I complained about this a couple of weeks ago, during the general knowledge round, they love to ask questions about opera. And I'm like, when did that become general knowledge? You can't go down the pub and go, yeah, did you see like Madame Butterfly
last night? No. Although it's because all everybody, including Pete Tong, are using classical orchestras in their music now.
Yeah.
And it's causing people to ask questions about
where its roots and
what else are them string players doing when they're not banging out house tunes. And my ex was a dancer, so, and he did a lot of opera, he did a lot of ballet,
right?
He did a lot of contemporary dance, so I got in free to a lot of places.
Nice.
So Royal Albert Hall and Sadler's Wells and Covent Garden. So I've seen some really lush performances.
I envy you.
By amazing. I've been very, very lucky.
Yeah. I always feel like I'm going to have to spend about a grand and get a tux on top of that to go see. And then binoculars on the stick. You've got to get a pair of binoculars on a stick for the opera.
No, you can see pretty well, even in the gods.
Fair.
But yeah, it's worth going.
Yeah,
don't do anything tricky and difficult. Don't do Wagner. You're going to hate me now. Don't do Wagner.
Keep it coming.
Some,
I want to learn.
Some Mozart. You want something that's easy on the ear that your brain will comprehend, because all those chord changes, you'll get it.
Right. And Mozart will sound very familiar to the average person as well, won't it? Mozart, Beethoven, all the big composers.
Yeah. But also go and see a show with ladies leaping around in frocks. That's always fun.
Good tip. But we're gonna get into some music.
Well,
now,
no, let's
aren't
go. That's to say, oh, one wait, show no, that no, we not. Should go okay. Before we let Alison go is to go and see your show tomorrow. Oh. Is what we should say is the show.
That's
to
the
go.
Very important part that I missed out.
Yes, please.
It's at Zadel, which is right near off Piccadilly Circus. Live at Zadel, if you want to Google it. It's at 7 o'clock in the Crazy Cock. COQ.
French cock.
Yeah.
Cork.
And yeah, me and Melinda and a bunch of boys playing music and having fun and gossiping on stage.
Nice.
Oh. Yeah.
Is it loosely based? I noticed they had the kind of, in the place of the two, they had the Roman numerals.
Yeah.
Is it inspired by Soul to Soul at all?
Oh no, we hadn't thought of that. Damn. No.
Can have that.
Yes, thank you very much. Stealing it immediately. Now she's an opera diva.
Yeah.
And I'm apparently a house diva. And it was diva to diva.
Makes perfect
off.
Sense.
Yeah.
It makes perfect. Well, you're not a diva in every sense of the word, because you're a lovely person.
I'm
at the
lovely.
Same time. You know what I mean? I can't imagine Mariah Carey being like you.
No. I started as a twirly, being told what to do. Go here,
right.
Stand, sit, you know, no, you can't go for a pee until we've finished the second run through. So I'm fairly well behaved.
Ah, you're great. You've been one of our favourite guests.
Yes.
So thank you so much for coming in to chat to us about Diva to Diva, which is tomorrow at the Crazy Cox at Live at Zadell's, just off Piccadilly Circus.
Yeah. Mm.
Get down to that. Ticket's still available.
There are some, yes.
Yeah, get down to that. And also, let people know where they can find you on social media so that they can keep abreast of everything you do.
Oh, well, there's on the Twit, I am Alison Limerick 1, because somebody stole the first one. How dare they? I know. And there, it's Alison, Alison Limerick on FB and on Insta. You'll
nice
find me.
If
there's a guy who's into football and he's called Alison Limerick, it's not me.
Report him. Report and block.
Oh, really?
That's what we do. We report and block. I'm going to be the first to do it. I'm going to report this guy and block him.
Right? Even if he's actually called Alison Limerick.
Don't care. Shouldn't have been called that. I'll report and block his parents as well. You know, whoever named him.
I know.
Once again, and before you go, actually, this is going to be a treat for all of us here. Would you do us the honour of introducing this song for us?
This is Alison Limerick, and this is my song, Where Love Lives.
Thank you.
hand sanitizer.
Don't know the hand sanitizer. don't know that Alice in Limerick where love is.
Hey, yo, listen, that song is such a banger.
It's the piano, isn't it?
You've got to think, yeah.
Huh?
You've been running.
He's been running all over the gaff.
He's bare out of breath.
That's what happens when he hears a house tune. He has to go for a little run around the building, energised.
Had to go and dance in private.
Do you know what's mad, yeah? You've got to think, how many festivals I've been to since I've been into house music, yeah? She made a song so long ago.
Right.
And it still gets rinsed timeless at shit. Every single one now.
Timeless. It's mad. Absolute timeless. We've had two legends in a row on the Eminem show, mm-hmm. right? Speaking of which, here's our next guest.
The next legends.
Yeah, exactly. The next legends.
Keep the legends
in the
rolling along. Yeah,
exactly. Make some noise for Andrew, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
How are you doing, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
Not too bad, bro. Not too bad, man.
We are all very well. You're looking very, very dapper. Do you know what? You're looking very in the kind of time of China Black, of Alice in Limerick. You've got a very nice...
like the
dance era when like say Shabba Ranks was killing it. Take That were first coming through. Who else did we have with that kind of really? I don't know how to explain it. It was a kind of dance mixed with rock edge.
Hatto Banton did it for me.
Yeah, there we go.
Bitty McLean. I'm just going to shout out the name.
Shout out to Bitty McLean.
Shaggy in the early days.
Shaggy,
as well.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
You know, but how are you?
I'm good. I'm kind of enjoying this apocalyptic frenzy that's come out, to be honest.
I hold on.
Don't mention the actual word.
You can't say the word.
Or is it 50p fine? 50p fine? We're calling
it. It's a pound fine. It's a pound fine.
I won't say it.
From here on out, we're going to call it the Mexican beer illness.
Yeah, the Mexican beer syndrome.
Mexican beer syndrome. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, MBS.
But besides that, I'm doing good.
Good.
I'm glad it's sunny today. Because I just got back from LA like 5 days ago.
Ah.
And I just came back to rain.
Yeah.
What were you doing out there making music?
Yeah.
There's got to be some sort. I've never had the pleasure of making music out in LA. I visited it once. Didn't make any music out there. What is it about LA that?
It's just where everyone is in terms of the industry and stuff. I didn't actually work with anyone when I went over there. I just went over there to kind of get away from London. And
so the weather's a good factor as well, because it's always nice weather.
Yeah, huge factor.
Definitely.
Huge factor.
Contributing factor.
But yeah, you're right. Back to usually you'd say back to dismal England, but it is actually a really nice day today. Would you say that your music is more inspired by summer or winter?
Good question.
That's a really good question.
Or more playable in summer or winter, because you've got to have your playlists for the colder months for the warmer months. But where would you say yours fits? When should people be looking to play your music? Around Christmas or around Carnival?
All year round. It should be an all year round situation.
Yeah,
no?
I guess
a vibe for each season.
Yeah, but then you can tell that they've done that, innit? You don't want to hear Jingle Bells and Steel Pans on the same rhythm.
No, true.
One or the other.
True.
You know what I mean?
I'd probably say winter, to be honest. I love the summer.
Cuffing season music.
Yeah, yeah. I'm probably a bit more darker than I would like to be.
Yeah. Well, that's good for you, Mars, because you love a bit of like cozy playlist music.
A little power ballad.
I do love a bit of a power ballad. You know what I mean? It's my thing. It's my thing.
Well, we were just discussing during Alice in Limerick's song the karaoke choices, and you've both gone for some power. Because Andrew, you said Whitney Houston. Yeah. I Have
Ooh.
Nothing is his choice.
Okay.
Marcel, big one. Straight into a bit of Meatloaf.
It's a bit of Meatloaf.
That's your song of choice. So you're both overachievers.
Yo, bro, you got it's karaoke. You might as well try.
Yeah, I go for instrumentals during karaoke because I'm really way out in left field. And make everyone think I'm going to sing.
He does Kenny G. He plays the same song in his mouth.
Yeah, I just air sax. That's my karaoke sorted. Yeah, I mean. Cuffing season, that's you musically, but who are you listening to? Is that who
am I listening to at the moment?
Yeah, or who are your inspirations for this winter playlist music that you make?
Do you know what? I've actually just been listening to a lot of jazz, so no artists like in particular. Mm-hmm. I've just been listening to like a series of like jazz music.
Yeah.
I feel like that's just where my head is at the moment. Just kind of like everywhere. Like, it just makes me relax, even though what's going on inside my head is like everywhere.
Yeah.
But I've not really been listening to anyone in particular. I'm trying to think.
Mood music is important, though. Yeah. I think you find that as you get older. When you're when I was younger, I used to take influence from like what my older sister was listening to, and then what my friends were listening to when I finally got some friends. And now, now that I don't really like people anymore, and like to spend time by myself, right. The mood has to kind of dictate the type of music that you listen to, rather than like the in thing or whatever, or the charts. As they
also feel like no one's really brought anything out recently, like over the last couple of months. I'm trying to think.
Well, sometimes it feels like there's so much that there's nothing.
I know Moses Sumney's just brought out a new album. I'm yet to listen
to
that.
It's very good. Very, very
good. Natalie
would
know.
That's always a mood.
Natalie would definitely know if anyone's brought out music, whether it's good or bad.
I do get told by everybody. My phone goes crazy, obviously, at all times of day. I just get international texts. I'm like, oh, okay, great.
Even dead artists are like, I'm about to release a posthumous album. Tupac texted her in like 2000. So there's some new shit coming out. Listen out for it. Well, we should get into some music, shouldn't we?
Because so your music.
Yeah.
Would you do us the honour of introducing it?
Yes. This is Lost Cause, and my name is Andro.
That was Lost Cause by Andro, who joins us in the studio right now. Love that. It's got for me, it's got a kind of distinct sort of early Prince vibe to it.
Yeah,
Are you a big Prince fan?
I was kind of getting that vibe as well. Like the beat was loud, then the vocals were like, Yeah.
Thank
vibes.
You. I appreciate
who,
that.
Who was on production duties for that?
Me and a guy I work with very closely called Matthias Bowman.
Do you see yourselves as a bit of a kind of a... Do you only really work with him?
Yes, I've worked with him for a while now, and it's just when you find someone that really gets you and you deal with, like...
Almost becomes Andro as a duo rather than a solo artist, I guess.
To some extent,
yeah. So what are the plans for summer?
For the summer, I'm just writing at the moment. We are looking into doing a few shows, but I will have another song coming out, which is yet to be decided. but yeah, that's what the plans are this summer.
But before before the sort of solo stuff started to come through, you toured quite extensively with Jungle.
I did.
Right. Did that give you much insight into performing live, or had you been doing that a lot before?
I'd been performing live like a lot before anyway, but to that level was definitely new to that, like... I mean, Glastonbury and Coachella and all that were like things that I never thought that I would be doing with Jungle right at the beginning, and then it just kind of took off so quickly.
Yeah.
It's been amazing. It's been a journey.
And how did that affiliation come about? Was it a case of auditioning, or you know, your name being sort of...
No, I have known Fraser, who plays guitar and bass. And he just asked me one day if I wanted to do some BVs for this new band. And he sent me some of the links, and I liked the sound, but I was a little bit like, don't know if I want to be a backing singer.
Right.
It didn't really manifest to be like that. It was kind of like, if you've seen us play, it really is like a collective. And and we sing all the songs all the way through.
Mm.
So, yeah.
So can will we not maybe even see you on stage with Jungle in the near future?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying no. At the moment, they're writing the third album.
Mm.
So
it's crazy that it's been that long, isn't it?
Yeah,
that they're
on
the third album already, isn't it?
They have a different sound, because you can hear someone now, you'd go, that's quite like Jungle. Like, they've developed their own, managed to get their own sound, and they did that straight away, I think.
Yeah.
It was really different to anyone else.
Yeah, massive,
yeah.
Big, busy earning. Like,
oh, my gosh,
It had a massive, massive impact, I guess, on music. Especially, you're right, with that sort of familiar but new sound that they kind of brought
Which
through.
Which other people have... borrowed since then, other artists that you're like, oh, okay, that sounds like Jungle to me now.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good thing. So where can people find you on social media?
My Instagram is Andro Earth, and on Facebook I'm Andro Music Official. That's it.
Awesome. Well, thank you once again so much for coming through. Chat to us about the new music.
Thank you for having me.
We hope to hear more in the near future when you decide on the release date. Yeah, you can clap, Nat. There we go.
Andrew, ladies.
Thank you.
We're going to get into another song now. When we come back, we've got one more guest left. And
a game.
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah.
We in New York, we wildin'. Skittin' out this summer, we ain't outside. Baby girl got style, she's stylish. Ready for the long haul, ain't no flight. She just wanna dance for a while. She just in a mood, wanna grow, wanna move. She back it up and I grab it, I'm loving it. Baby girl just wanna have fun with it. Baby girl just wanna have fun with it. Baby girl just wanna have fun with it. Trying to call this bluff. Baby girl trying to know what's up.
No.
My baby doesn't go out much. She said I get the same outcome. She used to party with the talcum.
Whip it.
All in the middle like Malcolm. She just wanna dance for a while. She just in a mood, wanna grow, wanna move. She back it up and I grab it, I'm loving it.
Baby girl, just wanna have fun with it. Baby girl.
just wanna have fun with it. Baby girl, 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 don't want no drama. She wanna have fun. Back it up and I grab it, I'm loving it. Baby girl, just wanna have fun with 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 it. Baby girl, just tryna have fun with it.
That's Baby Girl by Bryce Vine. Produced by none other than Chad Hugo. Mm.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently, yeah.
Yeah.
Of Neptune's fame,
yeah.
And NERD, mm-hmm. obviously. Interesting, that one. Mm. I did. I haven't heard Chad Hugo's name for a while.
No, but you, of course, when you're like, it made sense to me when I heard it. I was like, yeah, it does sound a bit Neptune's production. There.
I guess so, actually, being 50% and all that. We've got our last guest in the house right on the stroke of half. Well, no, 2 minutes past the stroke.
You're late, bro. You're late.
I could only see the 17 and the 3, so I just took a punt.
You're 2 minutes out. It's fine.
I'll never gamble. I promise I will never gamble. But yeah, please, please, please make some noise for Lee Juggernaut.
Hey, you pronounced it well.
Did
you
I?
Did it well.
Oh!
I was like, what is he going to come out with today? But you did it well. I'm proud of you.
Was that bang on?
Bang on.
Oh, man. Amazing. And is that real name, No Gimmicks?
No Gimmicks.
That's an amazing name.
The third person today that's asked me that. I was in an Uber.
The Juggernaut comes from... I learned about the origins of the word Juggernaut.
Go.
And doesn't it... Is it...
There's so many origins, it's a joke, but you might be on the right path.
Are the roots South Asian?
Yes, I believe so. Right. I think so. I think they are. I mean... My family, my parents are from Mauritius.
Right.
So I am ancestrally from India,
mm-hmm.
and South Asian. So I presume it can only be like, but there's so many different interpretations of it. There's an X-Men character.
There is, but even his name, like, I think, is rooted in like a god or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then even the lorry that is called a Juggernaut, the big truck, is named after a god rather than, you know, well, it couldn't be the other way around, innit? Let's name that god after a lorry. That would never happen. But yeah, I think it is that way around, but I'm pretty sure it has a, South Asian.
I'm very symbolic here, guys.
You are a very, very symbolic guy. But, you know, you've not only being a TV and radio presenter,
right?
You also do something else that's quite interesting that we'd love to know more about.
I mean, you've got to have a day job.
You do have to have a day job, but yours is the most interesting one.
I mean, it's very versatile. I mean, I've worked in the music industry for like 10 years and kind of done artist management. And I started off kind of about 10 years ago, slightly older now. But when I was in my early 20s, I will say, I did an internship for Sony. Mm-hmm. I actually went to uni, and anything that I did at uni is not relevant to what I'm doing now. But...
It's the way it always goes.
Always. I was even talking to someone yesterday. I was buying a TV and they were like, I want to go to uni. I said, listen, make sure it's what you want to do. Because if it's not, then it's just a complete waste of time. You're wasting your money. And we've experienced it. I mean, I don't know about you, but I certainly have.
Yeah, or none of the things that I went to uni for many times and quit.
Yeah.
And I am doing now. I'm definitely not a philosopher.
No, exactly. And I studied modern languages. I mean, French is my first language. So, I mean, it's stayed with me. But then I went on to study law and I didn't even want to do it. Mm. But I just thought... I was graduating and I was like, oh yeah, everyone's doing a conversion course in law. I might as well do the same thing. And I did it and I was like, I've always wanted to work in the media. I was passionate about music, passionate about TV and kind of the music thing. I started doing an internship at Sony when I was very young and you kind of climb up the ladder and blah, blah, blah. And then I am where I am now. But I always think if you're going to do something creative and work in the media, you have to have something to fall back on. So I started flipping houses when I was really, really young.
That's the punchline we were looking for.
I started flipping houses. And I don't know how that came about, but it did. And then I just realised, I was like, the first one I did was hard. And then I realised, oh, I'm actually okay at this. And then you realise, you know, you take a little bit of money out here, you put it there, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I'm not the expert at it. And you make mistakes as you go along. But that's how you learn, right? In anything.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. So that's where we're at now, really.
Yeah. So how do you sort of switch off from, you know, Lee Juggernaut, the presenter, and that to the guy flipping houses? How much of a business hat or a super professional hat do you have to put on?
The thing is, I always think I'm a creative person. I've always been quite creative. I wasn't very academic at school, and I always kind of got in trouble. But it just wasn't for me, and I always knew that from a very, very young age. And so I always thought, there's a way of combining all your passions. You don't just have to be one and not be the other. Mm. So, you know, TV, first and foremost, you know, when I was growing up, I didn't really identify with anyone that looked like me on TV at all. And I'm sure you guys can relate to very, very similar
Lenny
things.
Lenny Henry. For years.
That was the only one, you know. And it was kind of one of these things where, like, I wanted to do that. And I knew I wanted to do it. But kind of growing up, I didn't really have the confidence to do it. And then as I started working in the music industry, I thought, okay, I could see a way. I got loads of experience from the different people that I was working with, just subconsciously, just being sat with people, you know. And then I thought, okay, well, I need to make a living. So the flipping houses came about. And then I just recently, I think I've developed the confidence in the last 4 years to just be like, there's a way of combining it together.
Mm.
So right now I'm kind of pitching a show and I'm working on a show.
That's what I was going to
comment on next. Creating the TV stuff and the property stuff together, because... Yeah. There is a gap in the market for
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
You know? So we absolutely. All want to know how to do it on a budget, because people our generation, I'm sure the listeners listening out there, we're struggling to get on that property ladder because everything is so bloody expensive these days. You know what I mean? It's like everything costs. So how do we do it?
Yeah. And you're absolutely right about having someone that people that people can see reflected in themselves, because you're right. You know, you watch daytime TV about, you know,
yeah, about houses and all that kind of stuff, and you're not really relating to the people that are on the shows.
Exactly.
They're all like 70 or 80 plus. No offense to anyone out there, but they're all old. You
yeah,
know?
Exactly. The only kind of person that looks anything like me will be Dion Dublin, I guess, but he's bald, so I can't even relate. You know what I mean?
It's mad. I used to get Dion Dublin and what's the guy who done Ready Steady Cook mixed
Ainsley.
Up all the time?
Oh, Ainsley.
I used to get mixed up all the time.
From the top, they must
they
have
look
identical.
Better the same, innit?
From a bird's eye view. So
they were like the OGs,
Ainsley
though, weren't they? They were like the only ones that were around that during that
this
time.
Is the thing. Right. This is the thing. This is the thing. So there is 100% a gap in my, I think, because another thing is that when I do, because I grew up with a lot of friends from, you know, South Asia, a lot of people, you know, brown people.
Yeah, brown skin people.
And that seemed to be a thing that culturally was a thing, flipping houses, you know,
really?
Selling. Yeah, absolutely. And I feel that it's something that, like you said, people want to see, you know, represented on screen.
I think representation is just, first of all, it's key for people of colour, for people, for any diversity, you know, whatever you are. It's just, we need to start seeing that reflecting on TV and on film and stuff. And, you know, I was even, the last few weeks, I've got a YouTube channel, not that I'm plugging it, but I'm just...
Do it, mate, that's what you're here for.
I talk about things on YouTube and on Instagram, and I think that's what social media is for. It's like, you know, people call themselves influencers these days, but if you're influencing the right thing, or even if one person is taking something away from it, it's a good thing. And I think, you know, you even look at the BAFTAs and things that have happened recently, and the lack of diversity is so apparent. What they did to Meghan Markle recently, and then the press hounding her. There is just such a lack of representation for people like us that are diverse, that are just different, that have something to say. And I think it's about time that we all culturally and rather than like shouting at the problem, try and find a solution. You know what I mean? Like saying that we can do it. You know, we're not
absolutely.
Just a little tick in the box, but we can do it.
No, you're absolutely
so
right.
So using our experience and putting it out there, I think it can only be a good thing.
I do feel strongly against sort of shouting into an echo chamber for no reason.
It's just not going to get you
as I do
anywhere.
Against the people thwarting the progress of people of colour. Do you get what
exactly,
I'm saying? I don't see a point of going on Twitter and going, there's none of this. Like, you know what I mean? How about some action? You know what I mean? If you've got a platform, how about just making something that you want to see rather about moaning about the lack of things that there actually are?
100%, because it's not, let's be honest, you know, we all look at the world it is now. You know, we want to all be rich. We want to have money. Everyone wants something, but it's never going to come to you. It's about you kind of taking a step forward and being like, I can do it.
Yeah.
And showing that, you know, you can make a difference out there, whether it's a small step or not. But by taking these little steps, you can try and help one person or two people. You know, it might not be on a million scale that you want to do it initially, but every little helps. You know what I mean?
So absolutely.
That's what I believe in.
What's your dream property?
My dream property.
Yeah, sort of like what type of abode? If you had, I don't know, an unlimited amount of money, right? And you could buy any type of house in any location. Yeah. Where would you live?
Do you know what? It's the guy that you had on previously, I think he mentioned LA.
Mm.
And I do go there quite a bit. I've been there for work quite a lot, and I'd call that my second home.
Mm-hmm.
London will always be home. I love London. Mm. I love the people. I love the culture. It's we just can't escape it. You know, no matter where we go, London will always be home. Mm-hmm. But for me, California and LA does have a place in my heart, because I think in terms of creativity, we're allowed and we're able to be as creative as we want.
Mm-hmm.
We can be as diverse as we want. So I found like a home in LA because everyone's so different, everyone's so wild, and kind of everyone's just focused on themselves. Mm. But you can really find your niche there. So I've seen, I mean, some properties that you've seen on television over there, they're insane.
Silly, yeah.
Like insane, yeah. silly money. But I mean, I wouldn't be too ambitious and you know, wish for something bigger than what I could beyond my means. But I think the land's there, the architecture's there, the design's there.
Yeah.
Like London, you're quite limited as to what you can do.
Yeah, so, you ain't going to get a beachfront apartment in London.
No.
You know what I mean? On the banks of the Thames, maybe. You can see a little tide. Yeah. A little tide sometimes.
You know, they have the London beach in the summer. They make it.
They make
they?
It, yeah.
But in Brixton? Not a property.
Yeah. On a rooftop.
Yeah. Seen that. Yeah. The Brixton bar.
Well, I wanted to know, because Marcel, I was advice for Marcel, because he's recently bought a new property, yes. Harry Potter's house.
Yeah, I bought four Privet Drive. Literally, like, I need to work out how to get rid of all the letters in the front room, because they're just like mad amounts of letters.
They just pile up.
It's mad, like.
It's mad because I moved. Well, I was working on a property that I did, and rest in peace. But the old guy died in there. Hopefully, he didn't die in there. But it had been about 2 or 3 years, and when I walked in, the amount of letters that were in there was insane. I'm like, how much correspondence does someone get? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but real talk, it's.
A lot more after you're dead by the sounds of things.
Exactly.
You have died. Have you died, mate?
Have you died, mate?
There's no one to return them to the center, you know what I mean?
So you've just bought a place and you're doing it somewhere else?
No, like, literally.
He posted it on his
own. I saw that.
I didn't know.
Did he actually buy it or did he not?
He bought the Harry Potter house. He's crazy.
I didn't understand it because I have no interest in either reading a children's book or watching a children's film.
I agree with you.
Shots fired, JK! Shots fired!
Don't hate on Harry Potter. It's a situation.
JK. Like that, J.K. Rowling, just for no reason.
She knows.
Somewhere in Scotland.
She is. So when I saw that post, I was like, oh, so you bought a new house? And like, no, it's Harry Potter. I'm like, who's that? So I have no idea. But congratulations. Anyway.
It could happen.
It could happen. Do you know what I mean?
Because it's owned, house. Isn't it? Is it not actually owned?
I think it's an actual house.
It is. No,
there's a house in Watford, but the house that we was at was actually.
Oh, is it part of the set?
It's part of the set.
That's a bit less interesting, I guess.
Was it real?
Yeah, you could walk through it.
And it's actually like the film.
And it's actually like the film. They got the letters in the living room.
Yeah.
All flying around.
Wow.
Dobby's been in this wardrobe.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I was in there.
Maybe buy something on Sesame Street next. I don't know. Seems to be like up your street, doesn't it?
Oh, wow. I'd pay. No, but the thing is, they named the street Sesame Street.
Now, I'd be more upset.
Don't get
it
twisted.
Potter,
after Sesame Street. In New York, I think there is a street.
I always thought there was a
they named after.
All right, Nat. I see how you're moving. That's fine.
Yeah.
But different generations.
But it's
different generations.
Yeah,
but it's different generations.
Didn't the residents of the house in Love actually complain quite recently because people still keep coming to
the
house?
Is that Notting Hill?
Yeah. Oh, is it? Which is the house? The house where they got the cards outside.
Yeah, where Chiwetel Ejiofor. Well, no. Well, he's inside.
He's Keira Knightley.
It's Keira Knightley comes to the door. Yeah. So apparently the owners of that house keep having people come in and knock in the door and
with cards.
No, because they do. You know, there's a. I've never seen it, but the film Notting Hill.
Yeah, yeah.
And I live around there, and ironically, there's a donut shop that I love right next door to it. But there's a bookstore called, I think it must be the Notting Hill Bookstore.
Mm-hmm.
I've never known what it's actually for, but the amount of people that take pictures there on a daily basis.
That's why I swear Hugh Grant works in the film. Hugh Grant works in that.
Is that the actual one?
Then Julia Roberts comes in. They meet in the shop. Yeah.
Right.
Like, so Richard Curtis lives in Notting Hill, which is why he bases all his films in that area. Yeah.
Not willing to travel. That's his job ad, yeah. Looking for a directorial job. Not really willing to travel.
Just step out my house and start
action. This looks good. Yeah, we'll just shoot it. But we've got a game.
We have, but let's go to a quick song so I get ready for it. And then when we come back, we have got a game for you.
I've been working really hard, man, really hard. And I felt I wanted to prove everybody wrong. All the doubters thinking that I was going to lose in the third round, first round.
Said don't start, fast forwarded to your favourite part. But I'm just proud that you came this far. Hurt in your heart, perfect dart. Early ending, said don't start, fast forwarded to your favourite part. But I'm just proud that you came this far. Yeah, joy not fear, sky not clear, sky not clear. I had a choice, yeah, choice joy not fear, choice joy not fear. Far so near, so far so near, sky not clear, sky not clear. Joy or fear, yeah, I'm away now, I'm always here. Wait for seasons change, wait for summer rains. Spitting in the face of fate, pissing in the wind of faith. Rain on the runway, it's quiet on the concourse. Colour of the night, different in the seascape. No offence, but I think I'm in a different place. Was younger then, went different ways. House in disarray and I'm out of my face. Yeah, renegade, not an island, an enclave. Said 28 days on a pack they gave. Journey travel with a trap been laid. Yeah, hurt in your heart, perfect dark. Early ending, said don't start. Fast forwarded to your favourite part. But I'm just proud that you came this far. Hurt in your heart, perfect dark. Early ending, said don't start. Fast forwarded to your favourite part. But I'm just proud that you came this far. Hurt in your heart, perfect dark. Early ending, said don't start. Fast forwarded to your favourite part. But I'm just proud that you came this far. Hurt in your heart, perfect dark. Early ending, said don't start. Fast forwarded to your favourite part. But I'm just proud. Making a call, and I'll see you the day that I die. Got your words attached to my wall, always there in the back of my mind. And I got your hurt attached to my heart, got your songs attached to my soul. So join up fear, I know. Perfect art, early ending, said don't start. Fast forwarded to your favourite part. But I'm just proud that you came this far. Hurting your heart, perfect dark. Early ending, said don't start. Fast forwarded to your favourite part. But I'm just proud that you came this far. Hurting your heart, perfect dark. Early ending, said don't start. Fast forwarded to your favourite part. But I'm just proud that you came this far. Hurting your heart, perfect dark. Early ending, said don't start. Fast forwarded to your favourite part.
Lost the game already.
That was perfect dot by Ellison 404. And while that was playing, Natalie and our guest Lee Juggernaut were having a fight.
Natalie got very heated. She got very heated
about whether or not Eminem was miming at Reading Festival.
Let us know what you think on Twitter.
The organisers came out of Reading and said, "Look, I don't know where this has come from. He absolutely isn't."
That's how you know he was.
His mic was in one hand.
Says he wasn't. Then he definitely go out and tell him I wasn't.
He did the same thing at Coachella last year.
They think I was miming. I think it might have been to do with the fact that I coughed while I was rapping.
Well, none of you are winning the game. So far, Marcel is the only one that hasn't said bad about him. So Marcel wins the game. End of the show. Thank you.
Wherever. Marcel took it to Twitter.
Anyway,
that's the good news. The bad news is that we've all lost it, but at least we've got one.
No, Marcel hasn't lost. He's won again.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Winner, winner, winner.
Well, Lee.
Yes.
This is a game called Jugger North or Jugger South.
Oh, you see what I like did that. That. I like that. I like
that's
that.
That's bars, motherfucker. Something none of y'all would know about.
I'm going to play you clips of two music artists. I just want you to write down which of these artists is more Jugger North than Jugger South. So, who is North, basically, in the latitude line?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with that.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. Right, this is you. A hard game. Well,
where they're from?
Guess. I'm going to play you two. I'm going to tell you all this information. Should we get cracking?
Yes,
okay?
Let's.
You're going to tell me she might have left. He doesn't mind either. So, Like a Virgin, or Madonna, who is from Bay City in Michigan.
Oh, I see where we're going.
And Kanye, who is, of course, from Chicago in Illinois.
Shit. Midwest.
But who is more north out of the two of those?
Wait, where's Madonna from?
She's from Michigan.
Michigan.
Same Detroit.
Same place as Eminem.
Yeah, Detroit. Well, she's from Bay City, is from Detroit in Michigan. But let's look at Michigan as a place.
Michigan
versus
or
Illinois.
Chicago.
Yeah.
You're the most likely to have a good geography of the United States of America.
Got to get some answers there. Everything got some written down?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go, number two.
You used to call me on my cell phone.
I'm so bad at geography. It's a shame.
I am too.
I know.
I mean, someone's going to have to be from the Arctic to beat this guy.
Oh, wait, this is Celine.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, so now we're going... Oh, I see what you did.
We're moving on.
Oh,
because Drake's from...
Canada, but right? Who is...
Drake is from Toronto,
yeah.
Ontario, and Celine is from Charlemagne in Quebec.
Oh, okay.
One is more north, more juggernaut?
Which one is more juggernaut?
Celine or Drake? We all got something?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's number three.
Wow, oh...
Aretha.
Oh, yeah.
It's the stick of typically the motherfucker.
Aretha is from Detroit, Michigan. Missy is from Jacksonville in North Carolina.
Okay.
North Carolina. That's how you say it properly. North Carolina.
Missy or Aretha, who is north? You all got something?
I say a little breath out.
Yeah.
You.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay, Philly.
Oh.
Philly's in the house.
Miami.
Then when we go on Miami.
Hey.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Will Smith is, of course, from Philadelphia in Pennsylvania, and Christina is from New York, New York.
Oh, Philly or New York?
They're
both
so close.
They're very close.
Wow,
so
they're
close.
Very close.
Which one is more north?
Does anyone win anything? If we win?
You win
bragging rights.
You win that bit of paper that you're writing on.
We introduce you to John Humphreys as well.
Yes, we do. Yeah,
you don't get to be on Masterman, but we'll introduce you to John.
So, you win another house. We give you a house. We give you Marcel's house.
Okay, Marcel.
if you can flip four private drive, like.
Oh, I'll do it. Hang on, listen, we'll do it together.
Just talk.
Okay, right, number five.
Wow! Of all the Robin songs you could have picked, this one.
Can't see me.
Robin, Show Me Love. She is from Stockholm in Sweden. Lenny Marlin is from Tromsø. Definitely not how you say it. From Norway.
Oh, Norway. Or
Sweden. Norway versus Sweden. Norway v Sweden.
What's the second person's name?
Lenny Marlin.
I'm using her.
Robin or Marlin. Is it Robin or is it Marlin? We got something.
I'm going for Robin.
Don't listen. Don't be bewitched by this little.
There's only two choices, mate.
Exactly. And you definitely haven't.
We'll know if you're trying to bluff.
And you definitely are. You definitely are.
What do you think? Not that one.
Whatever you say.
I need some answers. Lee, did you put Madonna or did you put Kanye?
For North.
Yeah, who was North?
Madonna.
Okay. Marcel?
I put Madonna.
Okay.
I also put Madonna.
You are correct.
Yeah.
Madonna. She's 43 and he's 41.
What does that mean?
I don't know, but let's move on. No one knows what this means. Okay, Drake or Celine, who did you have?
I put Celine.
Celine North.
What did you go for?
You're cheating because you should have just answered now.
No, it's written down. Celine Dion.
Are you sure?
It's literally written down.
Correct. It is Celine.
Okay, good.
She sounds more northern.
She's 45. Drake's 43.
She sounds more northern than him. Do you know what I mean?
I'd love to know what these numbers are.
I don't know.
What was the number for her?
43.
Is it latitude?
She's 45. Yeah, that's something like that. But still, it's not very clear. Anyway, Aretha.
It is latitude.
Aretha or Missy?
Missy, 100%.
Aretha.
Missy North.
Should it? Marcel knew it.
Detroit or South?
Who did you say?
North Carolina.
I did it wrong way around.
Sorry. Go again. What did you say? Missy or Aretha?
Came from the north.
You said Missy.
I said Missy was further north.
You said Missy.
I said Aretha.
Yeah, okay, you're all right. It is Aretha.
Yeah, I got it the wrong way around.
Aretha is 42. Missy is 34.
Right.
Will or Christina? Will or Christina?
Will.
Christina.
Will. Christina. Christina is correct.
Wow.
It is Christina.
Yeah.
She's 40. Will is 39. Who knew that they were different ages? Anyway, Robin or Lenny? Lenny or Robin?
Lenny Marlin.
I went Lenny Marlin.
Yeah. Lynn.
Robin.
I should have gone for Lenny.
Yeah, the clue was in Nor.
Yeah, Norway and Sweden.
69, Southwest, she is.
Lenny's, Southwestern.
Lenny's 69, Robin is 50. I think if my math... Well, I don't know. Lee, I've got two. One, two, three, four, five.
Yeah.
That was
shocking.
Don't worry, though, because it's a bonus.
I'm good at bonus questions.
Can we just take note that I did get all five? Thank you.
Fair play, Mark.
Thank you, sir. Thank you
very much.
So on this one, it's write it down and show me. It's winner takes all. Okay?
You played yourself.
Okay, Ice Tizzy.
Mm-hmm. Yo, homeboy, you played yourself.
I know you still living your life.
Oh, Puffy. Sean Puffy.
Ice T is from Newark in New Jersey.
Oh.
And P. Diddy is from New York, New York.
That is tight.
It's tight, very tight.
This is a, I thought this is a trick question.
No, well, it's not.
I'm going to take a punt.
Okay, wait, hold on.
New Jersey.
See what Michael Payne's got. What you got, Marcel?
The Shore or... Show me what you got. Atlantic City.
Ice T North.
Okay, I'm still writing. So I imagine he's got the same. Well done, Lee and Michael.
Yay!
Ice T is 4072.
You came in so
strong. I think Jersey is a bit further north.
Just slightly.
Because it's all New York State.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. I was thinking about the coast, innit? Because I was thinking like it's probably going like, to be a bit warmer down the, down by the south, innit? Do you know what I mean? I'm thinking of like London and Brighton.
It's close, but Ice T does it.
Ice T does it.
Yes, he does it.
Wow, well.
On that winning note,
it's been a very eventful show. Thank you so much to all our guests. Errol Reed from China Black, Alison Limerick.
Andro
and Lee Juggernaut, who's with us right
now.
As we close the show. We'll be back next week.
Mm.
And we're going to leave you with this absolute fucking banger of a tune by Lioness.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. It's the 10 prick commandments. What? I feel like I'm highly qualified to talk about the subject. Like,
that was fun. Thank you, guys.
I gather I've got your back. There's some key things that you need to look out for. I swear to God. Yeah. Yeah, look, I've been clocking on to game for years. It nearly made me lose my mind. There's rules to this shit, I fucking made you a guide. A step-by-step manual for you to handle all the bullshit lies. So you can walk with pride, it's like one. Never get gassed by the mum. She's only riding for her son. As soon as you say bye and lift the drum, watch another one come. She's calling girls daughter in law for fun, hun. Two, make sure someone else is in view. He said he's on holiday with his crew. So why you seeing one plate, one shot glass, no group? Lying up FaceTime for proof, where's your friends at? Three, full phone visibility about his face down. Whoever's calling you is calling me, that's the wave now. Flip the phone over and pre the way how he behaves. Wow, you see, that's all you needed. Number four, none of them whores will be stored. Check them plus four fours, kick up fuss, world wars. Number five, flight mode, think about it, light bulb. When you're together, they mic phone, so he makes it so there's no doubt on. Six, new friends that are chicks, who'll tell you they're from school, but please do not fall for that trick, you're not stupid. Seven, if he volunteers, he's going sleep, he's just pretending. Yes. Hoping you'll say night, then not holler for the night. These times that will let him entertain another with no bother. Go and check him and check him. Eight, I know that this is bait, but WhatsApp calls only, so the call list looks lonely, the phone need. Nine, this the one I like. If he has got no kids, then why so many wipes in the car, in the glove? Trainers remain scuffed, so when he says they used to clean his kicks, he's talking junk, and you know it. Number 10, not one of his boys are your friends. They will always back his case to the end. Smile in your face and pretend like they didn't just spend time doing up spa weekend with him and his other girl on some double date shit.